Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. My name is Cedric Richardson, and in this half hour I'll be bringing you news and stories from the Vermilion County area with a concentration on Danville and surrounding communities. In our first piece, 2 centuries old. Vermilion County 4th and 5th graders were so creative this year with their birthday cards for President Lincoln that the museum had to create 2 new categories. For the first time, a first place with emphasis on architecture and a first place with emphasis on technology will be awarded, in addition to the grand prize winner. Those cards and others from 16 schools in the city and county will highlight the Vermilion County Museum Society's open house on Sunday to celebrate Lincoln's 208th birthday. The annual event will be from 1:30 to 4 p.m. Sunday in the museum at 116 North Gilbert Street at 3 p.m. Award certificates, ribbons, and prizes will be presented to the winners. During the open house, both the Museum Center and the Fithian House will be open for viewing. Punch and cake donated by County Market and Town Center will be served. There is no admission charge for either building during the open house. Sue Richter, the museum director, said of the event, "It's one of those open houses that's family and community oriented. It's also a chance to see the creativity of local students." Marianne Venute, museum staff member, said the open house is a unique thing in that it highlights the children. She and Richter raved about the students' creativity this year and noted the cards seemed to be even more imaginative than in past years. And it's obvious the students spent time on them. The top winners include Maya English from the 4th grade Liberty School. The front of the glittery card has several pennies forming a beard under a top hat. And inside, a cake made out of fake $5 bills is surrounded by fireworks. First place with an emphasis on technology goes to Aubrielle McCullough, a fifth grader at Southview whose flag design uses little lights as stars and bright letters spelling out Lincoln dangle from the card. First place with an emphasis on architecture goes to Ellie Cooper, a fifth grader at Armstrong Ellis School, who created a log cabin with 208 age pennies. All of the 639 cards will be displayed at the museum for several days in recognition of the students' time and talent. Last week, 4 members of the Danville Arc League judged the entries on content, 45%, presentation, originality and neatness, 45%, and grammar and spelling, 10%. Carol Garver and other judges agreed the entries seem to be better this year. "They're more creative. That makes it harder for us," she said. "It is fun to see the kids' hearts. They really put themselves into it." Becky Engel added, "We have lots of laughs. For example, one student used a Lincoln quote, 'I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday,' and remarked, 'Mr. Lincoln, you must be very smart after 208 years. Other students used Lincoln quotes and invoked Lincoln's wisdom for today's political climate. Damien Linares wrote, "Happy birthday to our greatest president ever. You had so much wisdom to change the world. We still need your wisdom today more than ever." Other judges were Lonnie Muser and Dorothy Fava. Sponsors of the open house are Judy K. Myers and Jonathan A. Myers, the Myers Group, Morgan Stanley. FYI, a list of card design winners can be found at vermilioncountymuseum.org. For information about the open house, call the museum at 442-2922. Parking for the open house is available in the museum lot, First Midwest Bank lot, and the north end of Big Lots. In other news, the Danville Salvation Army has exceeded its annual campaign goal. Salvation Army officials credit the generosity of area residents for helping the Danville Corps exceed its annual budget goal. We had a very good Christmas season because the people of Danville and Vermilion County are generous, said Lieutenant John Woodard. My wife and I are very happy with what happened this year, he said, referring to his wife, Faith, who also is a Salvation Army lieutenant. A surge of monetary donations arrived at the Corps' headquarters at 855 East Fairchild Street by the campaign's January 31st deadline, pushing the Corps past its $100,000 goal to $106,000. The Red Kettle campaign raised $69,000, exceeding its $65,000 goal, while mail appeal donations garnered $7,000, surpassing a $5,000 goal. We got more mail appeals this time, Woodard said. People were coming in off the street and giving us checks and mailing us checks. The $106,000 will cover the local Corps' day-to-day operations for a year, including social services, programming, bills, employees' pay, food pantry, Christmas baskets and clothing vouchers, and helps citizens pay for utilities, rent, or shelter and medicine. It helps with lights, gas, and water, he said. It mostly helps to keep the lights on so people can use our resources. The goal was set at the same amount as the prior year because of concerns that fewer kettle sites around Danville and Vermilion County would net less money during the campaign. We had a downturn in the number of kettle sites because of Kmart closing, said Woodard. Not only did the community come through with donations, but also with help ringing the bells. Volunteer bell ringers helped the local Salvation Army stretch its money because it didn't have to pay as many bell ringers. Woodard gave the example of the Danville Police Department ringing bells on a Saturday in mid-December when the Salvation Army had been challenged to raise $5,000 in its kettle that day by a Peoria affiliate that pledged to match and double the amount with a $10,000 donation. Despite the icy weather that day, the local Salvation Army collected enough donations to receive the $10,000 that Woodard said put us over the top with its annual goal. Receiving a rare South African gold coin worth $1,200 on December 10th in a kettle in front of County Market on North Vermilion Street also helped. Exceeding its annual budget goal will allow the Danville Salvation Army, a United Way of Danville area agency, to help more people, said Woodard. 96% of our resources go back into the community, he said. We're getting more involved with our character building programs. One program that will benefit is the Pathway of Hope that was launched in 2015 as an intensive case management program to help individuals and families with children break the cycle of poverty. The Salvation Army usually works with 3 families a year, said Woodard, and one person has graduated from the program. We help them make the right choices, he said. We would rather promote dignity and pride and get them out of that supplemental mindset. We want to get young couples out of the cycle of poverty and connect them to people to help them find jobs and stand on their own 2 feet, he said. Woodard also plans to bring a Danville Corps into the 21st century. The Salvation Army has to move forward with the Red Kettle campaign, he said. That means later this year the local Corps will pilot a program called Dip Jar as a supplement to the Red Kettle program. Right now, Dip Jar is being used by nonprofit organizations nationwide as a means to collect donations via debit and credit cards. They've tried it out on the East Coast and West Coast with great success, he said. In addition, Woodard said he would like to further develop a program in which local businesses sponsor a Red Kettle during the campaign by placing the name or logo of the business on the Corps kettles in exchange for a sponsorship donation. A little sprucing up at the Salvation Army's headquarters also is being planned. We're also going to do a little remodeling and make the facility a little more accessible, Woodard said. We're looking forward to this year. A Saturday fire scorches one home and grazes another. City firefighters responded to a house fire about noon on Saturday in South Danville that also grazed the exterior of a neighboring home. The call came in at 11:45 a.m. Saturday for a house fire at 912 South Forest Street. Lieutenant Tim Heinrichs said firefighters arrived to find heavy fire on the rear and south sides of the structure, which started to spread to the house next door. Heinrichs said the first hand line began to protect the second house from exposure. Then they made an interior attack into the main house fire. Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said the two buildings were close to each other and the main house sustained major fire and smoke damage. The house adjoined, he continued, as far as I know. It was mostly exterior damage through the heat and flames from the first house that was on fire. According to Thomason, damages to 912 South Forest Street were estimated at $25,000, including home and contents. No injuries were reported during the event. Catlin welcomes a new fire chief. For the village of Catlin, there's a new fire chief in town. Last month, previous chief Dave Burt left the department after 29 years of service. His successor already has about 20 years of public safety experience to bring to the table. Their new chief, Jason Minart, joined the Catlin Fire Protection District in December 2015 after climbing the ranks of lieutenant and assistant chief positions. In a telephone interview, he said he comes from a significant background of fire service and has served as a fire paramedic for a long time. Minard said he started as a cadet with the Lynch Area Fire Protection District when he was only 13 years old. He also served with the Bismarck Community Fire Protection District for a few years to become its assistant chief, then left to serve as a full-time fire paramedic in Charleston for 7 years. Minard added he was an instructor with the University of Illinois Fire Service Institute and now serves as a full-time police officer with the Tilton Police Department. Pretty much my whole life has been devoted to public safety, he said. He added that he thinks the department is really coming together and mentioned they've had Carl's Arrow Ambulance 24/7 to provide medical transport. The Catlin Fire Department also will work on updated paramedic training, Minard continued, for advanced life support in field. According to Minard, the department has 8 personnel on staff who are paramedics. He also said Arrow Ambulance still will provide medical transport. If one of us is on call, we'll actually be able to function as paramedics, he said of the new training. The council sets a study session. Tuesday's city council meeting will consist largely of a budget study session. City officials in December postponed a budget vote to talk to businesses more about a possible utility tax on electricity and natural gas to offset public safety pension costs. Mayor Scott Eisenhower said the utility tax still is part of discussions, but it is not being proposed at this time. The city also is facing decreased revenues by about $500,000 from state income and corporate replacement taxes. But Eisenhower also said the city hasn't received sales tax revenues from November and December during the holiday shopping time. Discussions also continue about the city's garbage collection after aldermen failed to approve a new 5-year schedule of fees. We really just want to go through the budget, revenues and expenditures, deficits, increases and decreases, and overtime costs, and just give them a thorough look, said Eisenhower. He again said city council input is requested on cutting or changing city services. Eisenhower's concerns remain with pensions and also a possible property tax freeze by the state. The city's 2017-2018 budget will go into effect May 1st. Also Tuesday, council members will consider approving several budget amendments and consider reappointing Tom Day to the Vermilion Regional Airport Authority. Council members also will consider authorizing the filing of applications for federal transportation assistance with the Federal Transit Administration for Danville Mass Transit, and will hear the winning essay from 2017 Martin Luther King Jr. Scholarship recipient Lyric C. Cunningham. Coming up, the Danville City Council will meet at 6 p.m. Tuesday at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building at 17 West Main Street. And now the obituaries for today. Stephen Brown, 35, of Danville, died at 12:02 p.m. Sunday, February 5, 2017, in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel, 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Sylvia Buford, 61, of Danville, died at 4:45 p.m. Sunday, February 5, 2017, at Carroll Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville. Carol Ann Sims, 59, of Normal, passed away at 8:26 p.m. Sunday, February 5, 2017, at her home with her family by her side. A celebration of Carol Ann Sims' life will be held at noon Thursday, February 9th, at the First Christian Church in Hoopston. Burial in Floral Hill Cemetery will follow the service. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday at Beck Memorial Home, located at 209 East Grove Street in Bloomington, and from 10 a.m. to noon Thursday at the First Christian Church in Hoopston. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials may be made to the Community Cancer Center, located at 407 East Vernon Avenue in Normal, Illinois, 61761, or to the Advocate Bro Mim Hospice Program at 1322 South Main Street in Normal, 61761. And that is all of the obituaries for today. This next piece is an editorial sent in from a reader. Hunger haunts too many people. The line starts to form early. People stake out their place with a lawn chair or by some other means. They wait patiently, some for a considerable length of time, for the doors to open. The lines don't form outside the David S. Palmer Arena for a big concert, or at a gymnasium for a big game. People, a lot of people, come out in any kind of weather to get in line for a local food pantry. Whether it's Danville Area Food Pantry, sponsored by Danville Township, the food pantry run by St. James United Methodist Church, or one at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, the pantries fill a vital need in Vermilion County. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank, whose 17-county service area includes Vermilion County, lists 11 local food banks. They include the Salvation Army, Community Church of God, and Antioch Baptist Church in Danville. First Church of Christ in Georgetown, the Grant Township Food Cupboard in Hoopston, a food bank in Potomac, and the Oakwood Area Food Bank. The number of food banks and the heavy demand on their services shows how hunger can invade a community. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank serves 116,000 people each year, according to its website. Of those 38,544, 1 in 3 were children, and 12,848 were senior citizens. 80% of those households say that they have had to choose between buying food or paying for medicine or health care. And 54% of those households have at least one adult who works. Many families who don't fall under the federal poverty income level of $24,300 a year for a family of four struggle to put healthy food on their tables every day. Thanks to their distributing agencies and to donations from the public, as well as corporate partners, Eastern Illinois Food Bank can help ease the food fears of many. But it's still not enough. Donate to one of the local food banks to help fill their shelves. Visit eifoodbank.org to learn more. No one in America, certainly no child in America, should go hungry. Not one. The GOP is to fill a treasurer's spot. The Vermilion County Republic Party is beginning its search to fill the Vermilion County treasurer position following Sue Stein's retirement announcement. Stein's retirement is effective March 31st. According to a press release from party chairman Bill Wright, letters of intent and resumes will be accepted until 4 p.m. February 17th and can be submitted in person at the offices of Vermilion County Title, located at 112 North Vermilion Street. They can also be mailed to VCGOP, P.O. Box 263, Danville, Illinois, 61834. A committee will review the documents and conduct interviews with candidates after the members have received all necessary information. Those submitting letters of intent and resumes will be contacted for more information on where and when interviews will be conducted. Following that process, the County Republican Central Committee will meet to vote on a replacement at 9 a.m. March 11th at the Vermilion County Farm Bureau Building, 1905C, U.S. Route 150. That committee is made up of County Republican Party precinct committeemen. The VCGOP wishes to thank Sue Stein for her many years of service and her dedicatedness to the people of Vermilion County, Wright said in a release. We look forward to finding a replacement for Ms. Stein, who will also serve Vermilion County with distinction. For information, potential candidates can contact County Board Chairman Mike Maron at 841-5269. In other Danville news, District 118 is to consider a pact with custodians. The Danville District 118 School Board on Wednesday will consider a 3-year agreement with the district's custodians and maintenance workers. Members of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Danville Local 399, the union that represents 52 district custodians and maintenance workers, are expected to vote at 1:30 p.m. Monday whether to ratify the agreement, which would be retroactive to July 1st. It's a good contract, Buildings and Grounds Director Skip Truex said. They, the union representatives, were very easy to work with, and everything went quite smoothly. Also on Wednesday, the board will consider regulating travel, meal, and lodging expense reimbursements so the district will have a set maximum dollar amount for both district employees and school board members in accordance with the Local Government Travel Expense Control Act. The proposed mileage reimbursement would be 53.5 cents per mile, up to $175 a day for lodging in downstate Illinois and Indiana, and up to $300 a day for lodging in Chicago. Chicago suburbs and out of state, except Indiana. Review a first reading of proposed job descriptions for a maintenance worker position and for a maintenance painter position. Consider proposed revisions to the job descriptions for kitchen helper and food service monitor. The kitchen helper description would change the lifting requirement to 40 pounds from 50 pounds. The monitor description would increase the maximum shift to 3 hours from 2.5 hours. Consider a proposed revision to the pre-employment physical for food service helper candidates. Discuss whether to extend a lease agreement for a cell phone tower owned by Crown Castle, but is located on property the district acquired when it purchased the former Riser property at 617 North Jackson Street in May 2014. The district has a lease agreement until March 2024 with Crown Castle that provides about $8,000 a year in revenue to the district. The school board last year turned down a request by Crown Castle to extend the lease agreement. The district might have long-term needs for the parcel that a proposed 20-year extension would hinder, if not prevent, altogether. Coming up, the Danville District 118 School Board will hold its regular meeting at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Jackson Building, located at 516 North Jackson Street. And finally, a city employee has been fired after being found with cannabis. A City of Danville employee was fired Tuesday after being caught with a small amount of cannabis in a city vehicle. Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said officers, acting upon information received, stopped Carl G. Valenzano at 9:45 a.m. Tuesday in the area of Jackson and Fletcher Streets. A K-9 unit was then used to sniff around the vehicle, Thomason continued, and police found a small quantity of suspected cannabis. Valenzano was issued a city ordinance citation for possession of cannabis, Thomason said, and was immediately released. Thomason also said Valenzano was a city employee in a city vehicle. Valenzano, who was employed as a city code enforcement inspector, has since been terminated from his position, according to Mayor Scott Eisenhower. And with that, I'd like to say thank you once again for joining me here on the Illinois Radio Reader. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to joining you again when I get a chance to read with you once again. My name is Cedric Richardson, and be sure to stay tuned to the Illinois Radio Reader for all of our interesting, thought-provoking programs. I sure do enjoy them myself. And farewell for now.